Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, if you will. Bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you this morning, Lord. Lord, we appreciate you so very much. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, you led us to this little place this morning. Lord, to sing a few songs, Lord, unto you and for what you've done for us. Lord, and to hear thy precious word. Lord, which we ask you to deliver to our hearts this morning. Lord, let us take it home with us, Lord, and let us live what you want us to be. Just have your way in this service. Everything that's said and done, only be said and done for your glory and your honor. Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor that's truly due unto you this morning. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to turn to page 294, I only believe. Too many miles behind me, too many trials are through, too many tears help me to remember. There's too much to gain, to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder, and there's too much to gain, to lose. I've crossed the heart-burning desert. What comes up. Amen. Keep pressing on. Page 308 in the same book. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to bribe.
Bye.
About his love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us. Remember Sister Domina in prayer. Amen. God knows exactly what she needs. Amen. Just keep her in your hearts and your mind, your prayers, as we take it before Him. Precious Heavenly Father, we gather once more, Lord, with a longing in our hearts, Lord, to be like You. Lord, hear Thy precious word, Lord, and to apply it to our lives. To hear those precious instructions, Lord, You've put on printed page, Lord, for us today. Lord, how humbling, Lord, it truly is. Lord, we appreciate Your love and Your mercy. Lord, we appreciate the trials and the tests, Lord, You send our way, Lord, to strengthen us. Lord, to help us grow one more rung on that great ladder. And Lord, as we think about our sister this morning, requesting prayer, Lord, we don't know, Lord, what her need is. Lord, but You do. Lord, we just lift her up before You in prayer this morning. Lord, we're asking that You will get the full preeminence, Lord, of the situation. Lord, once You heal her body, Lord, she can give You the glory and the honor and the praise. Lord, and many others that may be sick or afflicted this morning, Lord, You know all about it. Lord, we just ask that You give them rest for their bodies. Lord, heal their bodies, Lord, according to Your perfect will. Lord, so they may be back with us, Lord, to Lord, praise Your wonderful name for all You've done for us. Lord, more than anything in this life, Lord, we pray this morning for revelation. Lord, we didn't just come here in vain. Lord, we didn't just come here to hear words. Lord, we come here to hear what You have for us, Lord, and to apply it to our lives. Lord, otherwise we're just wasting our time. Lord, we pray for revelation greater than anything else in this life we could ask for. Lord, grant it to us this morning by Your perfect will. Lord, we just love and appreciate You, Lord, and we ask You to have Your way in the remainder of the service now. Everything be said and done, Lord, to please You according to Your perfect will. when we're done, Lord, we can say, Lord, it was good to be here. Lord, we just ask now that you have your way. Bless each one. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. It is good to be here, isn't it? Amen. Praise his name. Anyone have a song this morning they want to sing? A song in their heart? Sisters? Amen. We ask you to come. Thank you. we say thank you, Lord, this morning. Amen. Praise his name. Let's all stand. We ask a brother to come, deliver what the Lord's laid on his heart. Let's sing that little chorus. Here's my cup, Lord. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and
precious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful day you've given us and another chance, Lord, to come and to gather around your precious word and, Lord, to be partakers of it. And, Lord, we're just humbly asking today that your precious word, Lord, will bring life to us greater. Lord, as we hear this word, may it become part of us and may we absorb it, Lord, and let it become part of our life. Lord, that our lives would be a reflection of you in these last few moments of time. For Lord, we're sent here to your representatives, Lord, to be a people that you could have the preeminence of. And Lord, you sent a prophet in this last day to show us your plan, Lord, and what you had for us. And Lord, we just come today asking for revelation of your precious word. Lord, though we've heard all of these things that'll be read and spoke today, but Lord, may it just dip it into our hearts a little greater. May it cause our fire to burn a little hotter, Lord, and maybe a greater desire burning for you. And we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Aren't you happy? Amen. Do you love the Lord? That's wonderful. Amen. So thankful to be here today. Just continue to keep our pastor and his wife in your prayers, and just keep, God will rejuvenate their body, give them strength and health, bring them back to us when he sees fit. Amen. If you'd like to turn with me over to the book of John, amen. We'll start here in the 10th chapter. A little thought this morning. Amen. John 10, let's just start there at the 34th verse. And Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? And if ye called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am a son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him." May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. I'd also like to turn over to John, the 14th chapter, and put this in our hearts with this. Amen. John 14. Amen. And we'll just start there about the 19th verse. Yet a little while, and the world will seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And as we see these things and Jesus being able to say as he did there in John, though you can't believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And how we stand here today, seeing what God is doing in these last few moments of time and realizing that it's our turn, that as we stand here today, we got to have the same representation that Jesus Christ is living on the control seat of our hearts, that these bodies have been given as a living sacrifice back to him to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that he might have the full preeminence in our lives and in our bodies. And our pastor's been preaching on faith and how it's going to take more faith in this age than any other age. And as we think about that, to think about, it's a revelation of every word of God. It's got to be revealed to us in every aspect, that every word that we can truly look into that Bible and know that it's being manifested and vindicated through our lives. And I wanted just to renew your mind to some things the prophet said this morning, and praying that it'll just kind of strengthen you and stir your heart as we think about these things. Let me read this to you first before I start, as we think about what our pastor's been bringing and thinking about it. But this was in Why Christ Speak in paragraph 160. And we'll go to paragraph 161. He says, "For you see, faith sees what God wants done. And oh, I hope this goes in. Faith doesn't look at the present time. Faith doesn't see this here. Faith looks to see what God wants, and it works accordingly." That's what faith does. It sees what God wants and what God wants done, and faith operates through that. Faith is a long-range vision. It don't lower its sight. It holds to the target. Amen? Any good shooter knows that. It's long-range. It's a telescope. It's a binocular that you don't look around here. You don't use binoculars to sit, look and see what time it is, see? You don't use that, but you use binoculars to look way off. And faith does that. Faith picks up God's binoculars, both of them, both sides, the New and the Old Testament, and sees every promise that he made. And faith sees it out yonder, and faith chooses that regardless of what the present tense says here. He looks at the end. And he don't drop his sights down to look this way. He looks out yonder, and he keeps the crosshair dead center on the word. And that's what faith does. And that's faith that's in a man that does those things. And that's why we need God to reveal to us every word that he's given us, that it would keep our sights centered and focused to every word that he's delivered to us. There's a work to be done, as our pastor was mentioning, and I'm sure he will get back to it. There's a work to be done for each one of us. But I want you to think about that this morning as we just going to go back and rehearse a little bit of some of the things the prophet said. And this is in the message, God is identified by his characteristics, preached March the 11th, 1964. And just listen to the simplicity as the prophet was explaining this. He says, "Now most everything that we find can be identified by its characteristics. And now we notice like in animal life, you can take like in bird life, and you can take a yellowhammer when he's flying and a jaybird, and they look a whole lot alike. But the characteristic of the yellowhammer, he flops his wings and drops, and then up and down, that's the characteristic if you notice. The jaybird flies more in a beeline. And you watch the quail when he comes up, the Bob White, how he flies. And watch the gamble quail when it comes up, you hunters. You see, there's a difference. Watch the jacksnipe and the Wilson snipe. The characteristic determines what he is. A great sheep standing on the mountainside. If he had his back turned, the back part of the rump is white. The other part is gray. If you don't know the characteristics of that sheep, it could be a deer. See, you have to know the characteristics of them to detect what it is and what it is not. And many things we could go on telling you about animal life. But then we come down to human life, like the characteristics between a man and a woman. There's a difference. They're both human beings. but the characteristics of the two sects detect them. As I was reading some time ago about one of the problems that was put to the test of Solomon by the queen, that she had some women dressed like men and Solomon had them walk and do a few things. And quickly he said, them's women. See, because he could tell the way they did, the characteristics of them was woman. That's something about it that you can't hide it. It's a woman because her characteristic denotes her to be a woman. And it's just like a right hand and a left hand on people. They're both people. And you watch one of them is right-handed and the other is left-handed. Watch the way their characteristics detect them. And you can tell whether they're right or left-handed or not. See, yet they both got hands. And both hands look just exactly alike. Just exactly alike. And I might drop a little something here. Jesus said in Matthew 24th chapter that in the last days the two spirits would be so close together till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Now that's just like looking at the right hand and the left hand. They both got thumbs, fingers, nails, small fingers, middle fingers, and so forth. Index, all are different fingers. They both the thumbprints, only one just turned one way and one the other. Both the same print, made the same way, the thumbprints. Everything is identically alike. The only difference is the characteristic of it. One is a left hand, one is a right hand. That's the only difference. And that's just the way the spirits will be in the last day. They will. Just the characteristic of it will detect whether it is of God or not. One of them will be right and the other one will be wrong. And you'll know it by the characteristic of God just perfectly. It'll have to be that way. But the right hand we'd say is right and the left hand was wrong or vice versa, one of them. But they're determined by their characteristics. And only can you know it is by its characteristics. And we think about this as he was showing this in nature. But think back to Jesus. Brother Branham preached many messages. God is identified by his characteristics. And even as he titled the message, think about how our Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, his life was so perfectly represented into those scriptures that have been spoken of him for that time. And how he could look into those scriptures and see. And that's what he could say. Look back at the scriptures. They testify of me. Amen. They're telling who I was supposed to be, what I was supposed to be, how I would come, and what I would do while I was here. Look back at him. He could see his life so perfectly laid into those scriptures. And today we stand here, each one of us, having had an opportunity to have been placed where God has so graciously given us the word and sent a prophet in this age to bring us and to reveal to us God's hidden plan and mystery. And to give us an opportunity to be partakers of his divine nature. And God predestinated a people for that purpose. And within them he placed all the equipment they would need. But we've got to recognize whether we're in that position or not. And the characteristics of our life, the very actions. Brother Branham said, I believe it was in Christ of the mystery of God, every action should declare Jesus Christ. And as each one of us gather in here this morning, we come and we're weighing ourselves up by the word. You don't need me to come down there and tell you where you're right and where you're wrong. The word has went forth. And each one of us sit here as individuals this morning and we can weigh ourselves. We know where we stand before God as an individual. We know the short places that might exist in my life. You know what might exist in your life. But we're overcoming daily by the Spirit's sword. That's what the overcomer is. But is there a desire burning in our hearts to truly measure ourselves up by God's word, each one is an individual, and have a desire and a press within us to reach to those higher heights that God has called us to? Or are we content, as so many, to just sit around and be a churchgoer? Just to be, I follow a message, I wear dresses, I don't cut my hair, I don't wear makeup. I'm doing all of these things that I know the prophet said a people should do. I'm doing all of this, but down in my heart there isn't a desire to see God's plan finished and to see this great work wrapped up in my life and to be caught away in the moment of twinkling of an eye, to finish the purpose for which we've been sent. Is that burning in our hearts this morning? And that's part of, as our pastor has been preaching, it's going to take more faith. There's greater revelation, a closer walk with the Lord, a place of true dedication and being in tune with every move he's got for us. Is that desire burning and pulsating in my heart this morning? God gives us a pastor to bring that word to us. That's his way, his channel. But it's God speaking to you, trying to say, son, daughter, there's a higher plane for you. You know, sometimes it's easy to fall into that rut. Well, my pastor keeps bringing this message about we need more faith. But you've got to learn and realize, not just here, wherever you may be sitting, whoever's bringing God's word, that's God speaking to you through his channel he's provided. And you've got to put man clean out of the picture and focus your attention back to God's word and say, Lord, what is in the word for me that you're trying to bring me to? But it's so easy sometimes, that's just the way that brother sees it. Oh, this is the way that brother feels about it. But no, what did God's word say? It's laying here. You have the right to read it. I can read it. But just think about it. The Pharisees in their day could read every bit of this word. They read it. They knew it back to cover. They studied it. We'll read it here in just a moment, the way Brother Branham put it. They knew it, but yet they failed to miss the mind of God and the anointed word for the hour that was coming forth. They missed the moment. Oh, may we not miss our opportunity that God has given us in this hour to be a people that could rise up and be a representation of Jesus Christ in this last day, that would truly have every characteristic of Jesus Christ being manifested through our lives and through our bodies, proving to this world that he is alive and living today in you and me. It's not just a message that's on page that's got to fall, but we must become written epistles read of all men. Every day our lives has got to be this Bible walking. What Brother Branham said, he said, people won't read the Bible, but they will read you. And we've got to be what this Bible said we should be exactly. And to the letter. This is also in the message, God identified by his characteristics. Preached March 11, 64. Paragraph. We'll just start about paragraph 62. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, or in other words, if I don't have the characteristic of my Father, don't believe me. They identify my character, who I am. And if you can't believe me, then believe the identification that God has given. And if you don't, if my character don't identify my position, then don't believe my claim. See, you get it tonight? How many understands it? Raise your hand. If my character does not identify who I claim to be, said Jesus, then you believe that. If you can't believe me, why just believe the identification of the character that I am? John 14, 12, he that believeth, Jesus said on me, and the works that I do, shall he do also. Now look, he that believeth on me, a true believer, the works that I do, shall he do also. Notice in other words like this, he that believeth on me shall be identified by my characteristics, the works. Now what did he, now that's what he did. He said, if I don't do the Father's work, then don't believe me. And the Father spoke to the prophets, and that was their characteristic identification. So was it with Jesus, and promised it to him that believeth. My characteristic shall do in him just as it did in me. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works and you can't believe me, then believe the works because it's spoken of and it must be. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are that tell who I am. And that was Jesus. See, God manifested, showing himself. They testify who I am. And that makes Hebrew 1:1, God in sundry times spake by the prophets, clearly identifying the characteristic, now the resurrection of his Son. God spoke by the prophets then through his Son and now, the unchangeable God, the same characteristic. Works that I do shall you do also. God is known by his identified characteristics. That's how you know. You say, well, I tell you this, we sing and we do this and we do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the word made manifest and identifying it by the characteristics of the promised word for this age. Them Pharisees know the Bible as good as anybody, better than any of us. Clergymen knows ours today. They had to live by it. Their great-grandfathers were priests. They studied it day and night, and they failed to see the identified word. Today, Luther said, when you believe, you got it. The Methodists say, when you shout, you got it. The Pentecostal said, when you spoke in tongues, you had it. And we find that's all wrong. Some of them said, the fruits of the Spirit got it, and that's wrong. The only evidence is when a vindication, when God himself identifies himself in the promised word of this hour. And we look around us, saints, and it's so easy to see the characteristics of Jesus Christ. It's easy to watch men get underneath the anointing and on a platform and shout and scream and jump and bring the word. And it's you can see people in the congregation jump, shout, and scream, and it's running rampant. But what about after the church service is over and it's back to the everyday life? What life is being expressed then? What characteristics are being expressed then when half of them want to run to a ball game, the other half want to go sit in a NASCAR event? What's being expressed? Where's their love? Where's their life then? When the men on the job want to telling filthy jokes and they want to get right in the middle of it? What is it when you get out here and all these other situations of life start swimming in and then God's word's forgotten and your life is non-existent? What happens? Where did the characteristics go? But God's characteristics are evident all the time in every situation. And they don't just go away, and it's just not a people that come into a service and dressed all nice today, and oh, I look so holy, and oh, I've got my dress on right, I got my hair combed just perfect. But no, every moment of their life is considered around one thing, that Jesus Christ would be represented through their bodies and through their minds, through their speech, through everything that they would do. It would line up with God's precious word 100%. You know, Brother Branham had put it in the message. Just a moment here. This was in the Church Age book, actually. This was in the exposition of the Church Ages. This was the Pergamon Church Age. And I didn't actually write down a page number. But you can find it if you look for a few of these words as I read it. We'll just drop down here. He says he was speaking about Moses being appointed for his day. And he said, this is true of our day. But what do we have in this our day? Multitudes are working signs until we have a generation of sign seekers that know little or nothing about the word or a true move of the Spirit of God. If they see blood, oil, and fire, they are happy. And it matters not what's in the word. And as our pastor mentioned at Sunday, church order's gone. The things that the prophets set forth in order, people have forgotten. The word that came forth, God speaking to his people through a prophet, as I said. Some people will say, it was William Marion Branham. No, God was speaking and setting his church in order for this last few days of time. But people fail to realize that. And they get away from it. It's so easy. Well, brother so-and-so said this is okay in church. And brother so-and-so said we can do it like this. But what does God's word say? That is the ultimate. That is the absolute. And that's what we all must come back to. And it matters not my idea, your idea, or our opinion. God's word is done and rolled down the line and said exactly what it must be. And we must fall into line. There's no excuses for us to take and say, well, I don't do this because of. God's word's laying here, clear and cut. This is why we need to fall back into line with the Holy Spirit in tune and our lives falling right in line with every word that God's given us so that we can stand there with that same assurance in our heart as Jesus did. He knew who he was. And that's how he could do the things that he did because he could see his life was backed up 100% with those scriptures. And as we stand here today, we can have the confidence that he had if we can find our lives hidden in the pages of his word and the vindication of it manifesting forth from our lives. But if there's no vindication, no manifestation every day, every hour of the day showing forth, we have no confidence. We're just following a message. We're going to be like all these other churches that are around the world, message and denomination. I believe Jesus Christ is the healer. I believe Jesus does all these things. And none of it will ever take place in your life if you don't surrender it and consecrate it to Jesus Christ wholly. Because our hearts condemn us not. The more you know, the more you're responsible for. And we know what is right, we know what is wrong, and we know what God has spoken in these last days. And it's up to us to cry out that, Lord, give me the revelation. Don't let it just fall in my ear, Lord. Don't let me be somebody that just heard it. Don't let me be somebody that's just following it. But Lord, let it be somebody that's vindicating it in this last few moments of time. And we can't do it on ourselves. He's got to do it for us. We are his workmanship, created in his image. And oh, how we must let him have the full preeminence in our lives. Here we move on over here. This was in the message, is your life worthy of the gospel? This was preached 6/30/63. Let me see you here. Let me drop down. One paragraph 157. Now let's watch. Look at Jesus just for a minute. He was your example. And I hope you're not getting too tired. Look at Jesus just a minute. He was our example. He said so. For I have given you an example that you should do to others as I have done to you. Now watch. When he came into the world, when there was more as much unbelief in the world right then as there ever was, it didn't even slow him up. He went right on preaching just the same. Healing just the same. Never bothered him. There was critics. The man was criticized from the time he was a baby. Until he died on the cross, did it stop him? No, sir. What was his goal? Always to do that which the Father has written. Always to do which pleased him. Look at Jesus. Talk about us humbling ourselves. When God himself became a baby instead of becoming A little crib somewhere in a decent home was born out there over a manure pile in a stable amongst bawling calves. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes and was off of the neck of a yoke of ox, the poorest of the poorest, and yet the creator of heavens and earth. One cold rainy night, they said, "Master, we'll go home with you." And he said, "The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but I don't even have a place to lay my head." God Jehovah humbled himself and become a man, represented in sinful flesh to redeem you and me. Who are we then? He was our example. Who am I? Nothing. And he drops down to paragraph 178 and he says, "Oh, just remember, Jesus humbled himself to death for you. He was not fussy. When they spit in his face, he didn't spit back. When they pulled his beard out, he didn't pull at theirs. When they slapped him on one side of the face or the other, he never slapped them. He prayed for them and walked on humbly. He was an example of humility, not in word only, but in a reaction and a vindication in his life. The humility was shown forth that every passerby saw it taking place. And we're still here today reading and hearing it pushed back to us. He was full of faith. Why? He knowed his words couldn't fail. And he so lived by the word till he became the word. Oh God, let me hold both of my hands to God before this audience and let me live like that. Let this word so become that me and this word is the same thing. And let my words be this word. Let the meditation of my heart, let him be in my heart, on my mind, and tie his commandments upon the post of my intelligence. Tie them upon the post of my heart and let me just see him. When temptation rises, let me see Christ. When things go wrong, let me see him. When I get ready and the enemy is trying to make me get angry, let me see Jesus. What would he do? He was so much in the word till him and the word became the self same thing. And oh, how that ought to be the desire of our hearts, to become this word till it be the self same thing expressed daily through our hearts and through our lives. People see, they can find it in the pages of this precious word. They can see the reality that I am a Christian, not just on Sundays, not just on Thursday nights, but every day, every hour, my life is centered to one thing, and that's Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that my life be so surrendered to him that all that they can see is the characteristics of Jesus Christ made manifest in this mortal body, proving forth what he is. This is in the message, "Christ is the mystery of God revealed." And paragraph 373, this was preached June 28, 63. He says, "Listen now. Are you now just pinch yourself a little now and watch. What was Jesus manifested for? To show God. He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. He was God. And he was God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was he that was to come, and he that was, and he that it is, and he that's to be in this day, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was manifested for that purpose. And through that purpose, he achieved a church, that he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promised word of God in these last days, when he gets the preeminence in the church, the position, his place in the church. Jesus said, 'He that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he also. Even more than this shall he do, because I go to my Father.'" See, his purpose there was manifestation. And today he wants to get somebody that can so see it, that they can let the word. See, Jesus so seen it. So he was so perfectly born for the day until God expressed every move that he made. He was God's revelation, God revealed. And now he sanctified with his spirit and blood a church, that he might make every promise in this last day. That he might make this every promise last day be revealed. And he could go back and pick up what the other fellows had left off here in the last days by his Holy Spirit and reveal all the mystery of the seven seals. See, he's expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ, and then express himself through the church. And the same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. But when they accept a hybrid denomination, but how can the Word go through it? It's ground. Then it causes a short and blows as a fuse. But when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. "And the works that I do shall ye be also. And in the last days it shall come to pass, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers." And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in the fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church and have the preeminences in this church. Oh my, what, the anointed man, now the anointed people. Oh my, to bring back anointed bride, the bridegroom anointed by why, accepting what Eve turned down, and Adam coming back with the anointing of the word, because he said, my word is spirit, see, anointed with the word. What Eve turned down, he comes back, and we accept. See how that hybrid condition again, just exactly what he done, Eve? He told Eve, don't you do this and don't you do that. You can do this and that. And Satan said, oh, you know, but she turned and listened to him. But the Eve in this last day is not going to do it because she is predestinated not to do it. Yes, sir? God's going to do it and he knows he'll have it. He said his church would be there without a spot or wrinkle, and she's going to stand there in the splendor of him, his word made manifest. And she'll be a token to the world. She'll be something to the world that the world can look and say, well, the rest of the world say, oh, she's a holy roller. She's a second cousin. She doesn't belong to our group. I know that's a good thing, but she belongs to this group up here. And you know, I wonder, as we travel down this road and we're traveling this journey, we have seen people come and go from this message. We've seen people be excited one day and the next day they want no more to do with it. And follow it along and try to stay with it and do this. But if God does not fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and place within you the desire that you need, you'll just fall aside. If God doesn't reveal every word to us that's laying here, if I don't get a revelation of what he's predestinated me for in this last few moments of time, if I fail to receive any of this that and allow it to take control over my life, it's going to be of naught. But he set forth a people that he would have the full preeminence. Every action would be him. Everything we do and say, we wouldn't take this word and say we don't want it to do with that word. Or try to push this over here and say, well, I believe it's just got to be like that. But take God at his word and follow him right down the center of the road. You know, many people are sitting in churches this morning. All around the world, there's people sitting, listening to God, reading from God's Bible, or maybe even reading from these messages this morning. But what's it mean to you as a personal revelation to you as a person? You can just be here because it's church time and there's a group of people that's gathering for service. And I'm here because it's church time. It's Sunday morning. It's what I do. But where is that desire? Is it personally to you that, Lord, this is between me and you. This is between life and death, Lord. And I see that place you've called me to. And Lord, give me a greater desire. Place within me what I need, Lord. Give me the revelation of the word that takes me to that higher rung in you. Not everybody in the building may have that desire. Maybe not everybody in your family has that desire. But somewhere God has predestinated a people. One here, one over there. Maybe everyone in this building. Maybe everyone in another building. Somewhere God will have a people that their whole desire will be to one thing. That I must be about my Father's business. And I've been sent to finish this work for this time and this place. I've been anointed to it. And oh, when you look at the, as we read that first quote about faith having a long-range vision, look at all of the men back through this Bible that God called for a purpose. Paul, look back at Noah. God revealed to him it was going to rain and to build that boat. 120 years later, he was still ready. He was still looking. He didn't lose sight of the goal. He didn't let all that happened in between distract him. He was still right there. Look at Moses when God revealed to him to go down to Egypt and bring him out. Nothing sidetracked him. His vision was focused to the word that was promised at the time. The same with Abraham. What about us? Have we focused our vision into God's promise for this last few moments of time? That he would have a people that would be such a representative of him in this last age? That every word would be living and manifesting through their life? They would be a people that would show forth every word. And it means from the little words to the big words. Every action of our life, from being a housewife, to being a husband, to being a mother, to being a son or a daughter, to being a singer or a pastor or a deacon, whatever we are, maybe at church, every word that's been spoken forth of the way that our life should be lived, we're seeing it matched up 100%. And that's all that matters to me. Nothing else in this world matters. I don't care what I might achieve tomorrow in life. I don't care how much money I might accrue or what I might own. But there's one thing. Lord, take all of that. But give me Jesus and let every word be made real in my heart and in my life. Lord, let my life be a representation for you, that I would be to your glory and to your honor, Lord. Oh, may that be the burning desire of our hearts this morning, saints. Don't get sidetracked with life down here. Don't let it take and steal it away. As we travel around and we see all that's happening throughout the land and we see all that's going on. But oh, this is our time. Look up, your redemption is drawing nigh, saints. And oh, may we prepare our hearts and be waiting in love, longing, looking for that appearing. Oh, we don't know what tomorrow will hold. We don't know what this afternoon may hold for us. But one thing I know, I want to be found hidden in the pages of this precious word. And my life being able to be backed up and vindicated and matched. And oh my, that if I should die tonight, my testimony would already be here. I wouldn't need someone to get up and say flowery words about me. I wouldn't need somebody to get up and say things about me. But they could say his life was his testimony. Look at how he lived. Look what he did for others. Look what God did through him. Not in how much people I raised from the dead, but how much his life lived. How sweet, how kind. What was my actions? Did I return good for evil, or did I return evil for evil, or good for evil? All of these things matter. Did they smack me on one side and I couldn't turn the other cheek? Did they steal my coat and I just had the desire to go get them? Think about the life that has lived. Is that same life living and present in you and I today? Or does we still see, oh no, I'm way short of a lot of these things? Then it's time for us to cry out. That's what we're crying out for. Lord, give me the revelation. It might be this for me. It might be something else for you. That's why the test and trials come, to show us our weak spots. And God can take the precious word and fortify us and to get us into that place where each and every one of us as a member of that body would be standing there without spot or wrinkle under his precious blood, waiting in love for him. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. I pray that it's maybe you have felt it, to present it in the way that it feels in my heart, saints. But Jesus didn't care what everybody else was doing when he walked on this life. He was focused to one point, what God had sent him for. And that's all he could see was, Lord, he was to be about his Father's business. And each one of us has been called to this purpose. We've been predestinated, to be conformed to the very image of his Son. And do we care about that enough to surrender our lives greater and to surrender to this precious word? Or are we going to be like a lot of others? I believe this message and that's good enough for me. And there's no life. There's no evidence that Jesus Christ has done anything in their heart. No evidence that Christ has done anything in their life. Oh, they might have got a healing. They might have jumped. They might have shouted. They might have this, that, and the other. But their life is not a living testimony of Jesus Christ. And oh, may we be representations of his in this last day. Lord, let me be surrendered, that everything I do, Lord, would be done by your grace and mercy to bring glory back to you. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. I pray something in God's word can strengthen you today. I pray some scripture, some quote, maybe something just illuminate a little greater to you. But we've been sent here to be his representation. And it's going to take a revelation of every word that he's presented to us to bring us to that full stature of Jesus Christ. And all to see us come to maturity. And may that truly be burning in our hearts this morning. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, to be like Jesus. Amen. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. To be like him. Bow our heads. Precious Lord, we have come today, and Lord, listen to your precious word. And Lord, I was just a mouth that was renewing our minds back to these things that you have spoken. And Lord, I pray that in each one, my heart as well, that Lord, we will truly be a people that can lay aside everything of this life and turn our attention solely to the purpose for which we've been sent. Lord, that we would give you full due diligence in our life. And Lord, that we would want to be a people that was, Lord, not that it bring glory to ourselves, but Lord, that our lives would be so hidden in this precious word that, Lord, others could come to know you because they know us. Lord, that's the way our life should be lived, living for others. And Lord, we just humbly ask this morning that you would bless your word and bless our hearts, Lord, as we've said and heard it. And Lord, just bring us back at the next appointed time if you should tarry. And we'll never fail to give you all the glory and the honor for it. And Lord, we just ask you to continue to touch those that are sick and afflicted today. Lord, just bless them. Meet the need mightily in their life. And Lord, may they come back giving you testimony that, Lord, you are a healer and that you do answer prayer. And Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And oh, may we never fail, Lord, to make sure that we give you glory. Thank you for this day. Lord, bless those that have to travel. Keep them safe upon the highways. And Lord, we'll always continue to just be thankful for all things that you've given us. And we ask it in the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Just sing it one more time. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him. From earth to glory, I only ask to